Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, October 31st, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us John Upton. John was the executive director of the Virginia Baptist for many years, and now he works with the Ascent Network of Churches. John visited our church a couple of weeks back, and I asked him to be on the podcast. He has a wonderful testimony of God's work through his life, and I'm excited about you hearing more at the end of the podcast. Thank you, John, for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I've been looking forward to this. And right now, let us hear from the Word of God from the book of Isaiah, chapter 48. And I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 11, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. But if you're with me, read along in your Bible. I always think it's helpful that we read together. So listen to the Word of God. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are named Israel, and who came forth from the loins of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord and invoke the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. For they call themselves after the holy city and lean on the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I declared the former things long ago, and they went forth from my mouth, and I proclaimed them. Suddenly I acted, and they actually came to pass. Because I know that you are obstinate, and your neck is an iron sinew, and your forehead bronze. Therefore, I declared them to you long ago. Before they took place, I proclaimed them to you so that you would not say, my idol has done them, and my graven image and my molten image have commanded them. You have heard, look at all this. And you, will you not declare it? I proclaim to you new things from this time, even hidden things which have not been known. They are created now, and not long ago, and before today you haven't even heard of them, so that you will not say, behold, I knew them. You have not heard, you have not known, even from long ago your ear has not been open, because I knew that you would deal very treacherously, and you have been called a rebel from birth. For the sake of my name, I declare my wrath, and for my praise, I restrain it for you, in order not to cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, for my own sake, I will act. For how can my name be profaned, and my glory I will not give to another? Our second reading today comes from the book of Acts. From Acts chapter 20, we'll read verses 31 down through 38. Listen to the word of God. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they began to weep aloud and embraced Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they were accompanying him to the ship. And what a joy to end our readings today by going to the Psalms. We can never hear enough from the words of the Psalms. So listen to Psalm 110 and verses 1 and 2. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies.
Thank you so much, John, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. We love your voice, and we really enjoyed you preaching in our services a couple of weeks back and just spending time with us, encouraging us. You are here because you're a representative of the Ascent Network of Churches. And if you had to tell someone quickly what the Ascent Network is all about, how would you do that?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for the opportunity to be on this podcast. And what a joy it has been to be with you and with Wayne and with the church family. I'll carry away a very treasured memory from this time. So let me just say thank you for the opportunity to be on the podcast. And I'm here speaking on behalf of the Ascent family as a new network is forming, a new system of connections across North America of evangelical, and I say that with a little e, evangelical churches, institutions, denominations. We're finding ourselves and connecting. And so far in Ascent, probably 45, 50 different denominational entities and churches and groups have found themselves connected in Ascent. And the sole purpose of Ascent, the whole reason for this connection that's taking place and the building of this network, is how can we be the body of Christ in a new way in North America? And how can we together re-evangelize, re-engage North America with the gospel again?
That is an exciting mission to me, and I look forward to our church's involvement in this network. How did you come to faith, and what has that journey been like?
My parents were active in church. They met in church. They grew up in church together. They got married. It was very natural for them to want to take their family to church. So I was blessed by growing up in a very churched home. And I had a pastor for my entire childhood into my teenage life. Only one pastor, Paul Moore. And Paul Moore was a conservative pastor, but he had a big heart and an open mind. And he approached me when I was 12 years old and shared the gospel with me, and I accepted Christ. I was baptized on a Sunday night. And then on that following Monday, after that Sunday night I was baptized, he was at my house, picked me up and said, son, your decision to follow Jesus is not just something you do in your head. It's a way that you live your life. And he took me. I grew up in Norfolk, Virginia. And so he took me to where the mariners, all the merchant marines in the port that we have there in Norfolk, we had a ministry for those merchant marines. And so he took me. And for Monday nights, for about 3 years, I went and did ministry and played all kinds of games with those mariners. They had to get off the ships. There were all kinds of things they could get into that would be trouble. This was the one place they could go where they could find support, encouragement, and something healthy to do. And so I learned right away that faith is something not only you believe, it's something you live out with your life. And when I went into high school, my dream was to go to one of the academies, military academies. And West Point was my dream. And I actually got a congressional appointment to West Point and was on my way. And when I remember getting that notice that I was going to have opportunity to go, I went to the person most influential in my life, and that was my pastor. And I said, Mr. Moore, you won't believe this. I got in. I can't believe it. And he didn't celebrate. I said, aren't you happy for me? And he said, I'll tell you what. I'll be happy for you tomorrow. I said, what does that mean? He said, I want you to do me a favor. He said, I'll be honest with you. I feel like God has had his hand on your life to enter the gospel ministry. If you'll go home tonight and you pray and you can come back tomorrow and tell me you are not called into the gospel ministry, we'll have a party at the house. and we'll bring a whole bunch of friends from church over to celebrate. But I need to hear you say you're not called into the gospel ministry. Well, I just really popped my bubble. So I went home that night, and I prayed, and he was right. And I had to turn down that opportunity. And by the way, he threw a party anyway.
No. That's a great story. And I know the next part of that story is that you ended up going to Averett, now University, and you met your wife there, which is a really cute story as well. Go ahead and tell us.
Oh, well, I remember going over, arriving at Averett, and it was a Sunday afternoon we arrived. And I was used to going to church on Sunday nights. So I walked over to the nearest Baptist church. It was West Main Baptist Church, which is later the church we got married in. So I walked over to West Main Baptist Church, and it was about 7 o'clock, which I anticipated would be the worship time on that evening, only to discover the church was dark. So I went to the front of the church and looked at the billboard in front of the church, and it said there was a 5:30 Vespers. And I stood there. I didn't know what Vespers were. I thought, they don't have a worship? What Baptist church doesn't worship on Sunday night? And what is this Vespers thing? Well, while I was standing there, this very attractive young lady came up, caught my eye. I wasn't thinking so much about worship anymore. And she said, don't they have worship tonight? I was coming over for worship. I said, no, they have something called Vespers. Do you know what that is? She said, no, I've never heard of that before. And that's when we met.
And now you've been married how many years?
52 years.
And how many kids?
We have 3 kids and 9 grandkids. My wife likes to say 52 years of marital blisters.
Give us some encouragement based on one of the scriptures that we read today.
What I loved about that Acts passage that we read in chapter 20 is the heart that the people felt for Paul, and that they grieved and wept when they realized they would never see him again. And the encouragement he gave them that use your hands. You're going to change the world with your hands. It's better to give than it is to receive. And you need to do this together. And when I read that today, I was reminded that in the book of Acts, and you really see it in the first 4 chapters of Acts, there's one pivot word. I call it the hang word of those 4 chapters, but it's the hang word for the whole book of Acts. And we in the church today need to discover that pivot word. We read it, but we don't get it. The word is together. When they were together, he commanded them. When they were together, He instructed them to go to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. On the day of Pentecost, they were all gathered together. And there's power in us understanding what it means. On Sunday mornings, church, when you get together, are you together? Are you on the mission? Is your heart there? Are you God's people right now? Or just coming for personal interest and personal gain?
Is there a good picture of this that you've seen in your work where you saw congregations coming together for the greater purpose?
Oh, great one, actually. I was on a plane flying back from one of those BWA trips, and it was like, you know, a 12-hour flight or something. The guy sitting beside me was reading a local newspaper, and he got up and he put the newspaper down, and I said, I'm bored. I've read everything. I've done everything. We got 6 hours left. Can I read your paper? He said, it's just a local paper from Wyoming. You're not going to read that. I said, I'm so desperate right now, I'll read anything. So I got his paper, and I found this article in the paper. It was an article about a farmer who built a barn, and he built it too close to the highway, so the Wyoming Highway Department had come to him and said, you need to either move that barn or we're going to tear it down. He said, well, first of all, how do you move a barn? It's a giant wooden structure. And he said, how do you move a barn? I can't move a barn. And number 2, I spent all my money building this barn, and I really need a barn. Winter's coming. I've got to have this barn. And they said, well, that's your problem. You're going to either have to move it or we will tear it down in 30 days. Farmer didn't know what to do. Area churches heard about this gentleman's problem. He didn't go to any one of the churches, but they heard about his problem. So they got together and they sent a group to his house on a Wednesday night. And they said, we've heard about your problem and we're going to help you. He said, what are you going to do? They said, don't worry about it. We'll be here Saturday morning. Okay. Saturday morning comes. 258 folk from the community churches came together at his farm. Somebody they only knew as a neighbor, not anybody they knew from a church. They all came together and they walked down to the barn and they circled the barn, and with hydraulic lifts, they took that wooden barn up off its foundation. And 250 people put their hands underneath the frame of that barn, and they walked it 110 feet and set it on a new foundation. The farmer calculated that because 200 and some folk worked together, each person only had to lift 50 pounds. I read the story, and I sat back in the chair, and I went, Lord, thank you for that. You just gave me a picture. If all of us would work, what's that word again?
Together.
And if each of us will commit to lift our 50 pounds, we can move this world for you. We can't move this world all by ourselves. We've been trying this, and it hasn't been working. We've barely budged anything. But if we can come together and lift our 50 pounds, we really can move this world for Jesus Christ.
Dr. Upton, it has been a pleasure to get to know you better. And I wonder if you would end our time together just with prayer for our church and for the Ascent Network as we continue to partner.
I'll be happy to. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the gift of this time with Mary, this time with Wayne, this time with Mountain Brook Baptist Church. Father, you have reminded me just how big our family is, because it doesn't take long to be here before you know you're just part of the family. You're certainly welcome that way, and you're treated that way. Lord, I pray for all folk to know of your family's love. And we have a huge task you've assigned us. You've entrusted us with something that, Lord, we don't deserve to be entrusted with. We fumble those responsibilities all the time. But you keep bringing the task to us. And you ask us to not only take this task, but not to try to do it alone. You're asking your family to do this task together. So I pray, Lord, for all across North America, we'll look beyond all the things that could so easily divide us and find those things that make us your body, the body of Christ in this world, that when we speak together in all of our many voices. Every voice is needed. No voice needs to be eliminated. That we speak your voice in all the love languages that we have. And we share that with a broken North America and a broken world. May they hear in our voices a song of hope, a song of love, a song of new beginnings, a reminder that the future is in your hands. It is not something to be frightened of. It is something to look forward to. So, Lord, my prayer is, may Ascent flourish, but more importantly, may your gospel flourish. And may all your family find new brothers and sisters. And may we be on a journey where we've discovered great companions to take that journey with. And I pray this in your Son's name. Amen.